Hello, and welcome to the UX Hustle podcast. I'm your host, Amanda Worthington. The goal of UX Hustle is to help UX designers design the career they love, maximizing the benefit of this multifaceted industry and strong community. We talk about what's really going on in UX and what it's like working in it, and interview people that are actively navigating their careers and UX. We don't expect to have all the answers, but we do keep searching, keep listening, and learning. Because at the end of the day, you are the user of your career. Hello. So I have this theory that we all just need to take better care of ourselves. And I've recorded an episode before about zone of influence, and we didn't end up publishing it because it wasn't quite right. It just didn't get across the things that I wanted to get across, to be honest with you. And now that I'm reflecting on zone of influence, which I'll explain in a minute, it's now is the perfect time. From just some things that have happened this week, some conversations that I've had, now feels like I have the right context of how I want to talk about zone of influence with you. So I'm really excited. I'm really happy that I listened to myself to hit pause on that episode because it would have been out this past Wednesday. But instead, I recorded an episode about imposter syndrome to replace it, which also felt really right. And so that's one thing, like that's a whole thing. But it's just part of this conversation of, you know, being willing to listen to yourself and willing to change things up, willing to listen to what feels right and do something differently, even if it's last minute, even if it might not make sense to other people. Like other people might have listened to that episode and say like, wow, that was really great. Why wouldn't you share that with the world? Well, it just wasn't right for me. It just didn't feel right. And imposter syndrome felt more pertinent to some of the conversations that I've been having with people at that time. So, zone of influence. So the idea of zone of influence is it's from How to Make Friends and Influence People from Stephen Covey. And the idea is that there's three concentric circles. There's the most inner one is our circle of impact, the things that we can impact directly, things that are in our direct control. Then there's our circle of influence, which are things that maybe we can't directly control and directly take action upon, but we can influence the situation, the people around us, to influence people that are able to take action. And then there's our circle of concern. So the things that we are concerned about, that maybe we're worried about, but we have limited, if not any, control or influence over those situations. So zone of influence, zone of control. Those are the two areas that we should really be putting our focus on, because that's where we can make the greatest impact. If we're worrying about our zone of concern, we can have very limited impact there. And something that a coach that I follow, Allison Bird, talks about is the ripple effects that we have as individuals, where, what does she say? It's I make changes in my world, which impact the people around me in our world, which ultimately impacts the world. And when we're able to focus on ourselves, which, you know, immediately, I think selfish, that just like came through immediately, just as I'm even talking about this. And that just goes to show, you know, where I'm at and where I'm growing and learning. And when we're able to take care of ourselves, when we're able to set our own boundaries, when we're able to get clear on our own career paths and feel autonomy and control and inspired and motivated and excited for our work every day, that has a ripple effect on the people around us, on our colleagues, on the work that we do, on the work that other teams are doing, and on how other people choose to show up. I think that's a really interesting, and that's what I've experienced. I've experienced that in corporate, in entrepreneurship, at events, in tons of ways, where we're able to make an impact by focusing on ourselves. And I think that's a really, that brings great comfort to me, to where all I have to worry about is myself. Oh, that seems a lot easier than trying to control or influence or, you know, do things to other people and for other people and make sure that other people feel secure and safe and all of that. And not to say that you shouldn't do that, right? Not to say that you shouldn't go out of your way to make sure other people feel safe and heard and seen. I think that in order to do that, though, in order to do that to the best of our abilities, we also have to give that to ourselves. We also have to create safe spaces for ourselves. We have to create safe spaces. We have to allow ourselves to see and hear ourselves. There have been so many times when I just didn't listen to myself. I didn't slow down and really listen to what I needed and then give myself that. And because I haven't done that for myself, my ability and capacity to do that for other people was limited. Now, if I'm a caring and serving person, many times do I still show up really great for other people? Absolutely. But I do believe that there's a limit based on how much I can do those things for myself. And it does go back to that. There's so many phrases that I never understood that I'm now understanding. And so if you're like me, welcome. Welcome to this conversation. Because whenever I heard someone say, like, you can't pour from an empty cup, I was like, right on. You know, like, yeah, that makes sense. But I'm really seeing what that means right now in terms of, oh, I only have so much capacity to give. And even though I've been giving so much to other people, and I've been giving in relationships and in business and in all these different ways, I'm limited in even how I receive that and how other people can receive it, if that makes sense. Because even though I'm good at giving and giving from, I'll say, like, my bottom of my barrel, right? I don't consciously realize I'm doing that, where I'm scraping the bottom of my barrel to give to other people. I don't realize that I could be creating, and again, not even realizing consciously, creating resentment, bitterness, anger. I could be really planting those seeds in myself because I'm giving from scraping from the bottom. And when people say, thank you so much, or like, this was a great impact that you had, and this is, you know, what I got out of our coaching session and different things, my ability to receive that is blocked by those seeds that I've planted, by that resentment, that bitterness, whatever that could be. And again, none of this is conscious. This is just there. And when I'm doing that, like, again, I don't even realize that this happens. But now that I'm in this place of actually taking care of myself, actually seeing and hearing myself and honoring that and taking action around that, seeking support around that, receiving help from other people, and being willing to receive that help, being willing to ask for that help, I can now receive thanks differently. I can now give more freely and more without so much resistance. I think that when we pour from the empty cup, when we're scraping from the bottom, when we're not honoring and listening to ourselves, it's not just that we can't receive praise or thanks. Oh, we give more freely. We can give more. We can give quantities, like tenfold, hundredfold quantities to other people. Where when we're scraping from the bottom, we focus so much more on that quality, on this needs to be perfect because I only have so much energy. And so if I'm going to give, I need to make it the best, most amazing thing ever that people will go nuts over. And then if they don't, I'm going to be really upset with myself and just be really angry about how much effort that I put into this and angry that people aren't receptive to it, right? Ooh, that was good. That was good for me, like just to hear that from myself. So I hope this is valuable for you if you've been in that situation, and that when we clear the block that's within ourselves from not, when we care for ourselves, when we give ourselves the space, the highlight, the platform, just for ourselves, we're able to do that more freely and readily for other people. And think about the impact of that in your work, in your life. What would that mean for the people you work with around you? What would that mean for the meetings that you're in? How would you show up differently? How would other people feel differently around you? If you're able to give yourself that space, I think you'd be more willing to give other people that space. And I think when you're able to do that from that place of caring for yourself first, it shines so much brighter. It shines so much clearer to where the people around you are like, what are they doing differently? And how do I get some of that for myself? And people feel heard and seen by you. And so they want to include you in things. They want you in the meetings. They want to get your opinion on things. They want to do good work with you. And I think that makes a really big difference. And as we're talking about this, I just want to also acknowledge that if you're like, yeah, I'm not really buying this, that's also fine. Also, if you're hearing this and you're like, okay, but I don't know, like when I think about this, I just get angry about how I'm not taking care of myself, or I start judging myself for not making the time. I did that for a long time of like, why aren't you working out? Why aren't you, you know, eating better? Why are you sitting on the couch eating toast when you made a ton of healthy, delicious meals in the fridge? Like all of those things. And sit with that and listen to that. Listen to that judgment, to the guilt, to whatever that internal reaction and my monologue is. Because that's cluing you into how you've been talking to yourself and also how you're feeling right now. And feelings aren't permanent. Feelings are indicators to let you know what's going on. To let you know what's going on emotionally, sometimes physically, sometimes mentally, so that you can acknowledge that. And if you're feeling that way, I also invite you to let me step into that for a minute. So if I'm feeling guilty about the inaction that I've been taking or the busyness that I'm prioritizing in other areas of my life. Oh, this is a good example. So my house is so messy. And it's funny that I can laugh about that right now because I could not. Last week, I could not. And it's because I felt so, I felt like it said something about me that my house was so messy. And now I know it doesn't. But at the time, it felt very, very true that this was something about me, something negative about me. And I just invite you to journal around that, to sit with that feeling for a little bit, to ask yourself, how is this fill in the blank serving me right now? How is this fill in the blank protecting me? Because it probably is. Like for me, the messiness in my house is protecting me from inviting people over. It's protecting me from asking for help in other areas, other spaces in my house to hire contractors because it's too messy. And I can now recognize, and that's why I can laugh about this right now, because I can see the self-fulfilling prophecy in it of my house is too messy to bring contractors over. If I don't bring contractors over, then I can't get the things fixed that I need fixed. And so I can't invite people over anyway, so I might as well make it messy. And when we're in it, it's not that it makes sense. It's that we aren't conscious of this thought pattern, of this process and like how it's protecting us. And it also feels really overwhelming because like the messiness, it's not about how messy the house is. It's not about cleaning up the house. It's about asking for help. And so the solution of cleaning up the house doesn't ring true for me in a solution. It's like, oh yeah, I guess that makes sense. But I know deep down that won't solve my problem because my problem is asking for help. My problem is having contractors come over and actually fix things. And so that's just interesting. Like now I get to get more curious about that of, oh, so my messiness is protecting me from asking for help. How do I break through that? And the answer was to ask for help to help me clean. And so I had my friend and client and also contractor now, Sarah Kate Hampton, come over and help me organize and help me go through some things to get rid of it. And that felt really good because it actually aligned what my problem was with, you know, what the surface problem was with my deeper problem and solved both of them. And so it had the more impact because it did all of that. And so you might be like, okay, Amanda, but what does this have to do with zone of influence and zone of control? Well, we don't realize how much control we have. And maybe you do. Maybe you do realize how much control you have in your life and in your work and in how you show up. I think a lot of us have realized that through remote work of, oh, I can set my boundaries. And I actually need to set my boundaries because at the beginning of the pandemic, I did not. And work was just everywhere and everything was a mess. And then it was like, oh, I need boundaries. And if I don't have these boundaries, everything's going to be spaghetti and mess. And my family's going to suffer. I'm going to suffer. And my work's going to suffer. And so maybe you've realized that. And if so, congratulations. Like, seriously, congratulations. Sometimes that comes out like sarcastic and mean. So actually, congratulations. That's such a big, huge step of being able to set boundaries and then enforce those boundaries when people try to encroach on them. And if you haven't set boundaries up to this point, I invite you to set one. Set a boundary, even just starting with yourself. And maybe that's every day I'm turning off all my stuff at 6 o'clock, at 5 o'clock, at 7 o'clock, whatever time works for you. Like, there are days I turn off my computer at 6. My phone goes into full on, what is that? Not do not disturb, but like where none of my apps work at 7:30 every day. So I can go on Instagram. I can open my email, but just for a minute, just for something specific. Set those boundaries with yourself and enforce those boundaries. Maybe that's blocking off lunch for yourself. And when somebody asks if they can schedule a meeting over that time, you say no. And I think you'll see that when we focus on ourselves, the impact it has on other people and the work and the way that we show up is huge. It's not like incremental. It feels like it would be incremental, but it actually has such a much larger impact than we realize. And that's something I'm exploring right now. Is I think it's really interesting with career coaching that I do, of I'm curious about the impact of doing one-on-one coaching for people on teams in corporate, in organizations, and seeing how that influences that broader team and that broader organization as a whole. Because I think that when we get clear on what's important to us, where we want our careers to go, what actions we want to take, what conversations we want and need to have, that it causes this domino effect of other people recognizing that too, of other people getting excited about their work because you're excited about your work, because you've found purpose in what you're doing. Other people want that too. And when you're able to show up better, I think other people show up better too. And relationships get stronger, connections get better, and products get better. So that's my theory for right now. If you're interested in exploring this theory with me, please let me know. You can email me at amanda@uxhustle.org. And I'd love to just talk more with you about that. I've been talking with a lot of individuals in corporate, not just in UX design, but in other areas as well. And I just think there's a lot of opportunity there of working with individuals one-on-one and seeing the impact that that can have. Because I love group coaching. I do group coaching in UX Portfolio Power Play, and it is chef's kiss. It is so great. It is amazing. And part of the reason it's amazing is because I create a safe space for people to be open and vulnerable and honest with themselves so that they can be honest with the group and support each other. That's what's so cool. I love UX Portfolio Power Play, because people support each other and are there for each other to help to bounce ideas off of each other and to bring in different perspectives and even just to hold space. And that's what I love about group programs. I think that in like corporate environments and organizations, it's actually what's needed more, I believe. Again, this is all my hypothesis. I believe what's needed more is that one-on-one space, that space that's just for you to talk about your career and your career path, both in context and out of context from where you are currently in the organization, in your current role, and all of that. And I think being able to hold that space for individuals can be so impactful. I think it can open up doors and opportunities to people within organizations. And I think that companies that choose to invest in career development for their individual employees and managers are the ones that are going to be the most supportive environments to be successful. Places that want to invest in the experience of individuals, and not just experience, but like the growth. Invest in the growth in people, not just the like where you are right now, but we want to help take you to whatever that next level is for you, whatever that goal is for you, and how can we support you? Like, what are the projects that would make this happen faster, that would give you the experience that you need to either know if this is the right path for you or to put you on that path so that you can be successful? And I'm getting really excited about this because I just think it's so needed. And it's this missing piece that I see that I wish I had in all my roles in corporate, was somebody to just be like, hey, like, what do you want to do? Like, what's your big goal? And to have that space and that coaching and that ability, that person that'll help guide me to put that plan together, to figure it out for me. So again, if you're interested in this, email me at amanda@uxhustle.org, and I'd be happy to jam with you about it. I think it's going to be really cool. And I'm starting to roll it out. I'm starting to put the pieces in place for what a program would look like and what that can look like, especially for organizations that want to invest in their employees.
Thank you for listening to the UX Hustle podcast. To continue these conversations, you can follow us on Instagram @theUXHustle or join our Slack community through the link in our show notes. If you love this episode, please write a review and subscribe.